always trust everyone to be themselves, but trust in the fact that you can see them well. You know what I mean? So it's like, you know, trust. It takes too much energy to not trust someone. You know what I mean? It takes too much energy. You ain't got to stay two steps ahead of them or whatever. But trust them to be them.
To be themselves.
Trust the snake to bite you. Trust the lion to lie for you. Trust the thief to steal from you. Like, trust them to be them. But know them when you see them.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Chop Soccer Podcast, episode 3-0. It's a cool 30 on them. This is your host, Rox Fontaine, and...
It's your boy, Ken, and this episode is brought to you by Big Vax. So it doesn't matter if you're a part of the Moderna Mafia, or Pfizer Gang, or the J&J Lords, just get you a shot.
That's Big Vax. I heard, though, that all the bad bitches are Moderna backed, though. So I'm gonna perpetuate that narrative. Everyone's a bad bitch, but you're like upper echelon if you have the Moderna one. That's what
it's all Pfizer gang over here. Gang, Pfizer
That's
gang.
That's what I've been told. So, you know, we gonna let that rock. Get vaxxed up. And it's your girl, Shanoa. The name my mother gave me. We're jumping right in. There was a lot to get into, actually. So I'm excited to kick off Short Corners this week. We are actually going to hit it to Ken. Ken, Kimber, tell us what you got into. What did you catch up on? Give us all of your thoughts.
Big shout out to Hells, my homegirl from Chicago that moved out to Seattle, her and her boyfriend, Adam. So they came back into town. We caught the United Tottenham match right before the Arsenal game yesterday. So, yeah, that was pretty much it.
Mm-hmm.
I might be sliding down the Mixie rankings.
You're still either one or two, no matter how we slice it.
Rox, what'd you do?
My weekend was ass. I was starting the house the whole weekend. Yeah, not impressive. So I won't even bore y'all with the details of it. But I did catch a bunch of games since I was stuck in the house. That was awesome. I saw the end of Dortmund and Stuttgart. That was all right. I don't care about no German football, really. But that was cool. I watched the second Challenge Cup game, the Courage and the Washington Spirit. And we'll get into that a little later. That was fun for sure.
That was a good game. I caught that.
Yeah. Then I saw random. So this is a hat tip to Ken because you put me on to all the gems on ESPN. So I caught some LPF football, the Argentine League. So I saw Defensa y Justicia versus Talleres. That was all right. I was like baffled at how serious the game is in that country, but that pitch and that venue was wrecked, bro. Like they clearly do not have very much money. And I also saw Arsenal versus Sheffield United on Peacock.
Gang.
Yeah, I was like, I knew he was going to enjoy that one. Lacazette was getting off in that one. He had a brace. That was fun. So, yeah, I watched a bunch of games. Just pretty much did the whole couch potato thing the whole weekend. And Sunday was just disgusting outside. So,
well, I caught the Portland game brawl, whatever you want to call it, for the kickoff of the NWSA SL Challenge Cup. That was fun to see, but we'll get into that a little bit later. But I did catch some of that game on Friday. That was Friday, right? I think that was Friday that night that came. Yeah, so that was exciting, but we'll get into that a little bit later. So, so I caught some stuff. But we have some somber news. We were pulling for the dog. The dog is no longer with us. Yeah. DMX passed this past week. Rox, why don't you give us the rundown on that?
A giant of music, period. Like, fuck rap, a giant to music. What he gave, the level that he was on, the type of star he was, it's super rare, beyond rare, and the world will forever remember him and the energy he gave us in his time on this earth. Like I said, I'm just grateful. There was a lot of tweeting going on about him, and it was super interesting for me to see all the tweets of like all these people who've met him in these random places. And I can tell you from personal experience, they are not lying. I've seen DMX probably 7 times in my lifetime. I've seen him at shows, hanging out at underground shows. Like, why is he even here? And he was just outside on the street, just chopping it up with us. I've seen him in bars. I've seen him a whole bunch of places. So, and over my whole life, like I've run to him at least 7 times over my whole life. starting when I was like 16 or 17. So yeah, he was really out in the streets in a way that celebrities of that level are not. He was as authentic as a human being can be. And I'm super grateful for his music. Very sad that he's gone.
I second that. It was sad news to see. Again, we were all pulling for him. But my, I guess, thought after that was like, he finally gets to rest, and the things that he was dealing with, you know, he no longer has to kind of fight and contend for in terms of just having like peace in his mind and body and things of that nature. Now, hopefully his spirit could be at peace. It was a lot. It was dope to see all the clips and all the footage of DMX, because you kind of, it sucks though, because like I know people's like issue was like, oh, now everybody's a DMX fan. It's like, you could still be a fan of someone and not have to talk about them every single day. So that's what I hate Twitter for. It's like, I can be a fan of somebody and not literally talk about them. I don't have to talk about them every hour of the day. It doesn't mean that, like, you know, it's not parallel. So that was aggravating to see.
Especially for DMX. He was.
Yeah.
Like, come on.
Like, it's weird. People are interesting on the, it's getting weird in my Nene voice, but I didn't really, yeah, that was bothersome. But other than that, there was a lot of celebration and happiness and, like, you know, the nostalgic moments that he provided the culture and him just being an icon in that right. So again, rest well, Roll Simmons. And yeah, prayers to his family and especially his kids. Like, I don't know what that's like to have to lose a parent. So I definitely, my heart goes out to his children.
I saw some rumor of Jay-Z and Beyonce buying his masters to gift to his children.
Oh my God, that would make me stand for Beyonce even harder.
Yeah, I don't think that happened.
I don't think it did either. But anyway, very sad news.
It made made me appreciate DMX's catalog so much more. And like, I hate to say that, like, about someone who recently passed away, but like, I think it's under different circumstances and when like artists traditionally pass away and then like they kind of get etched in time, like DMX's music was already kind of solidified as great. Like, at this point, he wasn't coming back like dropping new bangers. But I didn't realize that he's the only artist in hip hop history, maybe like pop history, to have his first five albums go number one. And I think it might just be rap, but like I think he's the only rapper ever to have his first five albums go number one,
which is insane. Because really, again, that's in the era when people were buying physical copies.
Yeah. And his and a lot of his music, like a lot of his singles, aged really well.
Oh, I think all of them did.
Yeah.
I mean, that dude was just different, because it wasn't about the time. It's purely emotion. And that's permanent. You know what I mean?
That's good. I agree.
Yeah. DMX is really timeless music.
And other news, soccer related, DC United appoints the first woman GM in MLS. This is big news. Her name is Lucy Rushton, and she is now the GM at DC United. So they have a woman president, a black woman president, and a woman GM. That is wild impressive, and I will definitely be side rooting for DC United this season.
Mm-hmm. I love that. And I love that's from DC too. Like, DC stays with, you know, they were known as Chocolate City, right? Are they still known as Chocolate City?
Absolutely.
I just wanted to make sure. But yeah, like, I think that that's even more dope that
I've got that album by Parliament.
That's funny. But it's dope to see, you know, a black woman and women in general having positions like this, you know. I hope it can continue to see the wave. Like, they're stepping up. I think MLS is really trying they're really trying to at least do the work. Like, I know that they have some areas that they definitely need to come up in. Mm-hmm. But for me, you know, being a newbie on the block, it is nice to see like all of these like women front runners, you know, becoming more and more headliners week over week as we continue to kind of like talk about it each pod. So that's exciting for someone like myself. So I'm glad to see that that's continuing to be a thing, and hopefully we'll keep reporting on it, because that's super, super dope. So shout out to Lucy.
Yeah, I think this is big for the club. I think this is big for MLS too, because you don't get a lot of good like stories coming out of MLS like right now. So I think this is very welcome news on that front. It's very interesting that she comes from Atlanta United, where she was the head of technical recruitment and analysis, which is probably mm-hmm. another groundbreaking position she mm-hmm. held. Yeah. So, like, it's good to see people just kind of moving up through the ranks like this and getting these jobs in the way that you wouldn't normally think that people were getting these jobs. So, like, you know, this is a good story all around. I'm really excited for that area in general, because DC United is doing like apparently really good things right now. They've got Washington Spirit up there, who we'll get to a little later. They've got the Maryland Bobcats up there too, who's mm-hmm. My niece a darling team. So yeah, like the DMV area is really becoming a hotbed of like progressive soccer activism, I guess.
Yeah.
I guess we can throw the Richmond Kickers in there and Yogi. So yeah, you know.
The Challenge Cup has started and there is some action in this here tournament. This is quickly becoming a crowd favorite for a number of reasons, but primarily the outright entertainment value plus or minus soccer. Chinoa, I know you said that you watched some games. Ken, I know you've watched some games. First of all, I want to know, Ken, did you watch the Challenge Cup last year? And how do you think this year's tournament is going to fare against last year's? Because last year's was crazy.
I think last year's Challenge Cup is probably the first like time I watched NWSL soccer in a comprehensive manner, if that makes any sense. So like I was like a women's soccer fan, like I watched games here and there, but like I never really like tuned in to actually like watch women's soccer in any comprehensive way before the Challenge Cup.
Mm-hmm.
So that was last year for me. And last year definitely put this year on the radar for me.
Yeah.
So I'm definitely like a return person from last year, but also too, I was looking forward to this one a lot more than I was looking forward to last year's.
Yeah, because of last year.
No, because of the, I don't think it attributes to the Challenge Cup itself. I think it more contributes to like the extra things that are happening in the league and just the general excitement around the league that didn't exist going into like last year's Challenge Cup. Like last year's Challenge Cup had a lot of excitement around the league, but it was for like kind of different reasons. And I think NWSL has just been on like a very positive media trajectory like this past year between Challenge Cups, where like this one, it's like, all right, like I'm really excited for the actual football now, because like I was ready to see people play again.
Absolutely. Chinoa, this is going to be your first like full go at it.
Mm-hmm.
I know you watched one match. How many do you think you'll catch? And do you think you'll have decided on your favorite team by the end of the tournament?
I think I can, you know, make a final decision about who I'm going to be rooting for this year. I think I should be able to catch some games as long as I'm just like, I might need to download like an app so I can have like the alerts and stuff like that. I've never been that that girl, that individual that was like, oh, let me get my ESPN app with alerts. But maybe I'm going to have to be that person just so I can stay in the know. But for the game I did watch, it was just kind of entertaining to see like two red cards, two players being kicked out. Like, well, not kicked out, but I mean, well, essentially they can't play in the next game. And I know that there was some issues, like especially with the Thorns. Like, I think that they had, from what I was reading and just looking at the stats and what their record was last year compared to this year, I guess they had, they were like continued to be like in one of the finals last year. So maybe like they're progressing to possibly be in contention this year and this season. Mm-hmm. But what I thought was funny, I think it's funny when like club teams get on like their specific handles and like try to like jump in the mix. So like when one of the handles, for, I think it was for the Thorns, they were like, Weaver is innocent. And I'm like, I don't know. I saw both people getting a little mixy, but Edmonds was about that action. I was like, go ahead, y'all go ahead and fight. Like, I don't condone violence, but then again, I don't condone being a punk either. So if you're going to bring it, then go ahead and go for it. So I was like, you know what? I might have to just root for her because she was going in. And I was like, you know what? She really, like, if y'all watch that clip, she was like, bitch, what you want? Like, if you want it, let's get froggy. I'm with it. I was like, come on, energy. So that was really, really fun to watch. So if they give me more energy like that, I'll definitely be watching the rest of the Challenge Cup because that was an exciting opener. You know what I mean? I know that that sounds really bad, but maybe not. It was exciting to me. So maybe if they keep that energy up, I feel like it's going to be a fun season. What did y'all think about both players getting red cards? Was it warranted? Was it not?
It was warranted.
Yeah.
But my biggest takeaway from this is actually not related to the incident itself. Mm-hmm. It's related to a certain individual's response to it later on.
Okay.
Listen, if you work for a team in any capacity, be a fan, be a human being, express your love, joy, excitement, pain, all that stuff, right? But don't ever belittle the people that generate the money.
That's a fact.
For said individual to get her goofy ass on her Twitter account and intentionally insult NWSL fans, calling them fangirls, and you work for a club, you threw rocks, and then you tried to hide your hands when you got called on it, just like Weaver did in the game. And I'm not going to get too rowdy, but I am going to make it abundantly clear yet again, stop with that goofy shit. We on you every time. We're going to call you out. We're going to let you know that you are being ridiculous, and don't duck about it. Don't go on private. You know what I mean? Don't tweet the little girl smirking at the fire that you started because you thought it was funny, and then you want to duck. Just stop, man. I'm so sick of all these people, man. Like, get them all the fuck out of here. All of them. Every single one of them. Get them out of here. And I'm done. Sorry.
Put some elevator music in right here, and you got to tell me who you're talking about because I have no clue who you're talking about.
So she, y'all didn't see that?
I don't think
probably
because
she ducked and went on private. But so she tweeted out me pissing off the NWSL fangirls with a free Weaver tweet or whatever. So she tweeted that. She's the one who tweeted that from the Portland account.
Okay, I see.
And she went on
that.
Her personal account and, you know, made it like she was trying to piss people off with it and like had the little girl smirking at the fire, that little common meme or whatever. So,
got it. Yeah.
If you work for a team, like, yeah, you can like defend your player and all that, but like, she's innocent. It said, hey, fans, what do you think about this? Do you agree with this? And let them say all that. But this is the shit, like, they get on these platforms and they take that shit as license to just do and say whatever. And that's not what the job is at all. And then you definitely don't get to say some goofy shit, get called on it by a black woman, and then duck. Meanwhile, you got hashtag Black Lives Matter in your profile. Like, bitch, get out of here. Listen.
Oh. Yeah, I want to read the tweets from, no, like, this is like, I want to read the tweets from someone on Twitter. Her name, her tweets regarding that specific issue of someone tweeting free blah, blah, blah. And we're talking about Morgan Weaver. As it pertains to the issue of the Thorns player getting involved with Edmonds and blah, blah, blah. We already kind of laid that out. But just for context, if you didn't understand. So when she said, if white fans literally hashtag free blank for me, you don't really understand context. There's no higher thought process going on about the implications of the language being used. The white fans keep saying it's not about race. It is. Just because y'all want to tweet shit for likes and be quirky and funny doesn't mean that the impact of what you're saying isn't harmful to BIPOC community. Take some fucking responsibility. And for this narrative to be perpetuated on a team account, really? Laying it out plain and simple for those too dense to understand, y'all are victimizing a white woman in a fight between her and a BIPOC woman when very clearly the incident went both ways. Same shit the police does. And if you can't see that, that's the problem. And I'm like, you know what? I like those tweets because I agree. Like, I believe, like, I don't like the victimization of white women. It happens too often. That narrative is so played out. But you can see that in both MLS and now in NWSL, of that perpetuation of like that white narrative. And it's just dangerous. And it's kind of predictable, too. So if you're going to have BLM in your, you know, your bio and your profile and stuff like that, but then you're also perpetuating the narrative for Black and brown people to be, you know, trolled and like racially put, like harmed pretty much essentially on social media, like you're the problem. So fake solidarity is like not, it's not want, it's like, it's annoying. So like, keep it. It's not wanted. It's not needed. It's unnecessary. So I echo what Kai said on Twitter. I agree. I definitely agree.
Yeah. Ken, what you got?
There are a couple different levels of this, like, and I kind of got involved in it a little bit, just being messy on Twitter because I was watching the game. I guess the first thing for me is this kind of happened in two parts, and like the Portland Thorns are kind of known for this. Like, this is their jam, like, you know, like playing rough or whatever. So like, this isn't happening in a vacuum. Like, people know this. And like, you know, secondly, like, you know, like, you don't have to play, like, just on what was happening itself, like, you don't have to play dumb, like, you kind of know what's happening here. And, you know, then, like, you know, just everything else is thrown on top of it. You know, like, I don't have anything I can say that would be any, like, you know, better said than, like, you know, Black women in the space, like, you know, speaking up and saying these things right now. Like, you know, clearly, like, you know, it's not right for a, like, you know, account like this, like, you know, especially under an official capacity to actually, like, you know, I understand, like, advocating for your player, but to come out, like, you know, and say she's innocent when, like, you know, this is clearly just, like, questionable at best. Like, you know, just, like, the audacity to go there.
The audacity.
Exactly.
Yeah, like, it's just wild that, like, and it was such a good night for the league otherwise, like, you know, if, like, you know, even with that withstanding, because, I mean, like, people were more, like, excited to see the passion than they were to kind of see it, like, politicized, and then just, like, to kind of see it, like, dragged out that way, like, especially in official capacity by a club, I think really kind of put a damper on the night. Because, man, like, as I, like, I tweeted, I live tweeted through this thing, and I was so excited. I was like, yo, this is like 70s NBA, and, like, I'm here for it.
It was like a final, bro. Like, you would have thought they had a 6-foot trophy waiting on the sideline for somebody. They were getting after it, bro.
But, like, it's back. Like, I mean, like, the players have been waiting to play as much as we've been waiting to see them play. So, like, you know, like, they want to play too. And, like, I was happy to see the energy around it, right? And then just to have it dampened, like, you know, because I don't know. I don't know what makes somebody feel like, you know, this is the time to hop in and be like, oh, this person was innocent. Like, you know, and these things happen in soccer too. Like, it's not like this is, like, you know, it's not like this is unreal for, like, two people to be in, like, a situation like this, both of them to get reds, and then, like, you know, you just kind of move on. So,
yeah. Listen, like, for me, it cannot be understated. She tweeted on the official team account, Free Weaver, or whatever the tweet was. I didn't see it, nor do I care. But then, shortly thereafter, she went on her personal account and made it clear that I meant what I said on the team account. And if I could have pushed it any further, I would have. So that right there tells me everything I need to know about you. I'm going to believe you the first time. This woman is the exact type of white woman dangerous that we keep talking about on Twitter and in other spaces as well. Like, not just Twitter, but we keep talking about it on Twitter. These are the women we are telling you to watch out for. They are, man, just let me stop. Listen, get her all the way out the paint. I don't want to see nothing from her ever again, ever.
Yeah, no. And it just, again, well, and then we can be off this. I don't, again, it just, the perpetuation that it allows, cause so then, like, trolls will get on Kristen's page and be like, there was a tweet that I saw, a Black girl would have mollywopped you, girl. Next time, throw hands at your own kind. Would you,
oh,
would,
wow.
Would have been a different outcome. And it's like, huh? Like,
wow.
Yeah. So it's just like, yeah. So it's dangerous. It's unnecessary. Like, trolls are going to troll. We know that. But for the, you know, for that tweet to come from the club's account and then for her to double down on her personal page, again, it's just a perpetuation and allows for even more people to feel like it's like a liberty for them to just like troll, you know, BIPOC and brown, black and brown women. And that's not okay.
Yeah.
Before we end that, we can't not give a shout out to Trinity Rodman. Let's see. Is there anybody else from the Mondom that scored? No, but I think Trinity Rodman was the big one. Like, we can't end the Challenge Cup talk without doing a shout out to her. So shout out to her for scoring that goal. I think she's the youngest woman ever to score in an NWSL game.
Oh, so, 16 years old.
Oh, well, yeah. Shout out to her.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, I can't end the Challenge Cup segment without bringing that up. So
it's sauce or toss time. We're going to pick the energy back up a little bit. I don't want to drag y'all down too much. We got three joints on deck this week, starting with Inter Milan's fourth kit. Shanoa Green, the kit connoisseur. Let us know how you feeling about this one. Sauce or toss?
It's a sauce for me, honey.
Oh!
Yeah, I like it. It's energetic. First of all, it has yellow, and I just think of, anytime I see yellow, I just think of black people. I know that's weird, but not really, because black people look amazing in yellow. Call me biased. I don't care. I'm black, so shoot, like, you know, you can't do nothing about that. So I love it. Because again, the yellow accents, I love that it has like multiple patterns, but they somehow still work together. And it, like, if they would have put another pattern, it would have been a little bit busy, but so they stopped right where they needed to stop at. So mm-hmm. I really do enjoy it. I think it's dope. I think it's like creative, it's pushing. I haven't seen anything like this for, you know, the kits that we've been, well, no, they've been stepping it up, I think, compared to what I think I've seen like in past seasons. I'm liking the kits so far for the 21-22 technically year. So I'm all for it. Shout out to Inter Milan. I think this is super dope and I like it. It's definitely a sauce for me.
Ken, what's your pick on this one?
Normally I let kits come to me in terms of like when I buy kits, but like I'm going to buy this kit this summer. This is saucy, bro. Like,
yeah, this shit is hard.
It really is.
This is amazing, man. Like, this might be my kit of the year.
Damn.
Oh, that was
jumping out the window.
Yeah, I'm like, is that not premature? I mean, go ahead.
No. This might be my kit of the year. And, like, I'll tell you why. Like, first thing I like what they did is I like what they did with the sponsor, right?
Mm-hmm.
So instead of just, like, slapping it across the middle.
Yes.
Like, you
everyone
know,
should do this.
They like incorporated it somewhere into the actual design, but still mm-hmm. made it large enough.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Because it fits into the motif now. Right. Like, that's mm-hmm. dope. Like, you know, I kind of like the Art Deco thing that's going with it. And on the back, like, I'm a sucker for like the squares in the back of the jerseys where your numbers go. Hard, I'm a sucker for that shit, bro. So the way they remix this and made it like a photo scale, like that's what the panes across the top are, like under the name. Like you mm-hmm. see those on like photo scales a lot.
Yeah.
And then like they've got the other little strip like for the name. Like, oh man, this is sick, bro. Like this is probably the most well designed kit I've seen in terms of like Art Deco, like all year. And we've got some good kits, but like yep. This is just like, this is what money, like, this is what I would expect from Nike.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right. Bro, that's my point. Like, this is the Nike that I miss.
Yeah.
I miss the Nike that just knew what to do with color blocking, with style, with obnoxious design. Like, this is everything right here, man. Like, I don't fuck with Italian football, but this kit right here, oh my God. And let me tell you the ridiculous levels that rocks would go to because of this kit, right? If I was Lukaku himself, right, and I got all this money to do whatever I want to do, I'm absolutely going to buy custom Inter Milan rims that got the IM logo as wheels and fucking Pirelli tires on it. And I'm doing a whole photo shoot in that jersey just because I can. That shit is hard, bro. Like,
the when a kid
inspires
too.
You like that, that's the goal. Like, it should make you feel a type of way. Everything I wear, I want to feel a way when I put it on. And this gives me the feels.
This might be, every year I get myself a kit for my birthday. Like, this is number one in the running now. Like, they've gone into pole position. I might get me one of these.
The tracksuit is hard too. Like, I'm looking at like mm-hmm. This pullover and the sweats. I'm like, this is actually really, really hard.
If nothing comes out before July, when it's time for me to like buy it to have it on my birthday, this is going to be it. This is number one. This is moved into
good stuff, man.
This is sauce.
Shout out to them. They killed this.
Shout out to them and Nike. Mm-hmm. Well done. Next up, we got Maryland Bobcats. They dropped the glitch kit last week for goalkeepers. This week, they were back with another goalkeeper kit in the traditional Maryland colors. But man, did they remix this. You got a red centerpiece that's designed with a graphic in the back, and then barred black and yellow sleeves with a red Hummel chevrons. Oh my God. This is a sauce for me. Ken, how you feel about this one?
This is a sauce for me, mainly because this might be the most Maryland soccer jersey I have ever seen in my life.
I was
going to
say that too.
More than the last one before Hummel?
Yeah. No. Because like one thing about like people from Maryland is they're going to let you know they're from Maryland.
That's
right?
A fact.
Like they got their flags on fucking everything, right? So, like, the first couple of takes they had at it, like, you know, it was kind of, like, just, like, having the classic flag elements. Mm-hmm. Like, I like the way that they've remixed the elements on here, mm-hmm. but yet you still know this is, like, everything from the Maryland flag just represented in different ways. So, like, I'm here for it because I love the DMV area. And there's nothing better than Maryland seafood. Maryland seafood's best seafood in the world. So, yeah, this is a sauce for me.
Chanel, how you feeling?
I like it too. To Ken's point, like I immediately was like, oh, this is definitely more of a representation of Maryland because of the colors primarily. And I like this one better than the TikTok one. So I'm going to give this one a sauce because the glitch one, it was like, it was cute, but it was just a little too... Like, we're leaning to be like, let's get the young crowd. I think this one's just a little bit more appropriate for, like, demographic-wise. So, regionally, I guess, is the word I'm looking for. So, I like this one a lot better. It's not, again, it almost could have been too busy because, like, there's a lot of different patterns, but it worked. It worked out. So, I like it. I like the for all on, like, the collar part, the neck sleeve. I don't know which goes. Is that the collar? Yeah, I like the for all part. Around the collar. Like I like the attention to details that they tried to make an effort to do. So I like it. I'm gonna give it a sauce.
It's missing one thing for me.
What?
It needs to have a crab jock tag.
Oh. I wasn't ready for that.
I'm dead serious.
I mean, yeah.
Oh, yo, speaking of that, I might sauce them on the Fitted Fridays this week with the Baltimore Air Max 95s I got.
Oh, that sounds fun.
Nice. Last up, but most certainly not least, Racing Louisville FC, the inaugural kits. We got two home and away, a white home with a fleur-de-lis all over it. And then a black one with some lilies. Oh, my goodness. This is absolutely a sauce for me. Chanoa Green, how you feel about these, particularly the black away?
This might surprise y'all. I hate the white ones, love the black ones. So I'm definitely, it's so funny. I'm giving a sauce to the black jerseys because they did something with it. Like there's an actual design, there's a pattern, there's a flow. It's not just black just to be black. So again, I don't like the, is it the home one that has a white one or the home one? I don't like the home ones. I just feel like that's just really plain, but I'm definitely giving a sauce to the black away jerseys because those are hard. Like I think it's dope. It's like, I don't know. It's pleasing to the eye, and it's not like a lot going on. Like it's nice. I think it's very clean. I like it. So I'm gonna give Atmana Sauce for sure.
I knew you were gonna like it. That's why I pointed it out like that.
Yeah.
This is another one like that black one. God, man, I would destroy this shirt. But it's Louisville. Like I can't do it in my mind.
I think these are unisex, either Gotham or either Gotham or Racing Louisville made them specifically unisex. They aren't doing like men's and women's. They're just doing like,
they just removed the gender identification on them. So they just label them slim fit or regular fit. Mm. So the regular fit is, you know, quote unquote men's. So yeah, these are, oh my God, hard. And then the picture on the NWSL website, the home shirt with the lavender Umbro boots. Oh my goodness, man. Sauce. I just love this color so much because it's so different, at least for American soccer, you know?
Yeah, this jersey, I definitely, I like them both, but I definitely think the black one's way more saucier.
Yeah, 1,000%. For sure.
I like the shorts too. Like the shorts that Yuki has on. I like those shorts. Like I'd cop a pair of those. Those are dope. Because I like their crest too. Like I just like their Racing Louisville badge.
Yeah, it's very well done. Another Matt Wolf banger.
Matter of fact, I might just cop those shorts anyway.
They said that they were trying to give like a nod and an homage to Muhammad Ali, who people may or may not know he is a Louisville native. Mm-hmm. So I guess with this butterflies and bees, that's what they were, you know, giving a nod to the great Muhammad Ali. So that's even, I like that too, that there's a message to it as well. So yeah, still don't like the white one, but the black one goes hard.
Muhammad Ali is one of those people where I can tell how much like people like actually rock with him, or like, you know, if they just say they rock with him because of like, you know, what they've heard about him based on like some of the like more intricate things about him. Like, what's a good one? Oh, a lot of people don't know Muhammad Ali was Cassius Clay before.
I don't know how people don't know that.
A lot of people don't.
That is so weird. Ugh.
Because they don't know like the whole story, right? Like, I mean, there are different levels of it, like, you know.
But how can you know Muhammad Ali without knowing that part of his life? I guess I just feel like that's weird that you can know one part without the other.
If Mama named him Cassius Clay, I'm a part of Cassius Clay.
But a lot of people didn't know that his name was Cassius Clay before coming to America.
That is so weird.
Like, the idea of Muhammad Ali is more so of like a great boxing like champion that has really come into like, especially like our generation. Like we didn't get to see any Muhammad Ali fights.
Well, yeah, I definitely didn't.
Even still, that's Muhammad Ali, bro. That's like,
they have a way of doing these things to people, like the same way they do it to Martin Luther King.
That's a great point.
At the half this week, it's music selection time. Who has the better track this week without knowing the other's pick? Is it you, Shanoa, or is it you, Ken?
Hands down, I got it.
I don't know. It's not a competition for me. I just go with the vibes. But
that's what you say when your shit's whack.
That's a lie. You know, you're probably right. I don't feel so secure about this because it's a new song. So, anyway, so my at the half pick, I'll just go ahead and go. It's Queen Naja featuring Ari Lennox, and it's called Set Him Up.
Oh, my God.
Is this the reverse contagious?
You are so predictable.
It's called Set Him Up. I mean, some things it's going to just be predictable. It's fine. I'm not going to, you know, always give you, you know, which way is she going to go? You know, some things are just going to be what they are. But it's not the song. It's not like, you know, setting niggas up for, you know, to get robbed or anything like that. It's just about like, it's a sexy song. So again, I'm a fan of songs and titles and, you know, artistry that's like metaphoric and has like little secret innuendos and stuff like that. So it's not about like, you know, getting niggas set up to be robbed. It's about, you know, a little sexy song. So shout out to Queen Naja and Ari Lennox. I love Ari Lennox. She can really do no wrong in my eyes. And she's been looking so good. Shout out to her. Like, she's been really killing it on the gram lately, watching her little fitness journey. So I'm a fan. So yeah, that's my at the half pick. Set him up, y'all. Go ahead and set these people up.
K, Ken, what you got?
Wow. Yeah, okay. For all the hot girls and hot boys out here, the first installment of Hot Ken Summer.
Shut his mic off. I hate you. Like, that was so annoying.
What?
That was so annoying.
He said Hot Ken Summer, bro. That so shit annoying. Is egregious.
It really is.
That shit is egregious. Why? Is it because it's not annoying. Summer yet, or because I'm not hot? Like, let's just get to the facts.
maybe both. I don't know.
Oh, jeez. Wow. Wow.
Yeah! No, I'm just joking. That was too easy.
I know. Anyway, for the first installment of Hot Ken Summer for all these hot boys and hot and girls out again. Here. Yeah, we just have to brand this. if I keep saying it, like, you know, it'd be a thing. So as I was saying about Hot Ken Summer, we have Doja Cat and SZA on a track called, what is it called? Kiss Me More.
You don't even know what it's called.
Hey, I don't need to know what it's called. Know that it's fire.
You're funny. I get it.
And yeah, it's called Kiss Me More. This has been on rotation. When did this come out? I think it came out last week. Yeah, Thursday, Friday. It's been pretty, like, it was raining here, so I didn't really get to give it the full mixy experience. But yeah, this is something I'm co-signing. Next week, you might be hearing this everywhere. Doja Cat and SZA, Kiss Me More. It's a bop for the first installment of Hot Ken Summer for all you hot boys and hot girls.
Good stuff. My pick this week is also extremely predictable. I'm just going to tell y'all to go run up the DMX albums. Run them up. Whatever service you on, play DMX, all of them. If I had to pick one, it's the first one. It's Dark and Hell is Hot. That album is unfucking believable. So, yeah, that's my pick. Rest in peace, X-Men, and thank you again.
Yeah.
Foul Play is back this week. This is one of the hottest new segments. We got Usher Bucks this week.
Usher Bucks is funny.
Usher Bucks, yeah. We definitely going to have to toss this one to the woman's perspective. First and foremost, Usher had some money printed up. It looks like the regular old US dollar, but it has Usher's bust on it. Shanoa Green, how are you feeling about Usher Bucks? And what card are you going to give him, if any at all?
So, okay, this is the thing. The internet takes things and runs with them. That's what makes the internet fun, and then that's what also makes the internet dangerous, right? But because I'm with the shits and I like to laugh, and this was something fun to break up the, you know, the chaoticness, the chaos that was happening on my timeline, I'm not going to card this because this was just a great reprieve to have on the craziness that was happening on my timeline this week. Like, between the police shootings, the school shootings, MLS white tears, victimization, you know, support groups, all this other stuff. I was like, you know what? This was just fun. So I'm not going to give him any cards because I just needed this for my soul and my, you know, the fun part of me. It is weird because he posted a picture on April 3rd of that suitcase, and it had like a bunch of money in it. And even when I had seen it, I was like, this is weird. Like, why does he have like suitcases full of money? And then like someone zoomed in and it was the Usher Bucks. So the fact that he has been like holding on to these little buckets and, you know, or ducats, whatever you want to call them, and he decided to like make it rain on strippers that aren't, you know, real money. It was really funny to me. But we've come to find out that report isn't necessarily true. He did actually pay the strippers or the exotic dancers in real cash, but he also happened to leave behind some Usher ducats to promote his residency in Vegas. So that kind of made it less fun, but I'm still going to give him a no card, no harm, no foul in my eyes, because I've loved Usher since I was a little girl. So I can't really give my long lost baby daddy any cards. So there's that. And I guess that was predictable as well. I love me some Usher, so I can't. But that's funny though. Imagine picking up your money and seeing a nigga's face on it. is just funny.
No, nah, Usher's got to go. Usher's got to go.
Uh-oh. Is that, what signal is that there, Ken?
Usher's got to go, bro. Like, I'm going to VAR right here. I got my hand in my ear. They told me I had to go look at this. So, yeah, let's go look at this. Because I think there are like a couple parts that Usher might get. Like, just from what I've heard Shanoa say, there are two different parts here that Usher gets yellows for. And that's two yellows, a red. He's got to get out of here. He's got to get out of here. So the first one is, you can't mix this money in with real money and throw it at the strippers. Like, just absolutely not. Hard stop. You can't do that. Right. Like, I mean, that presents more problems than just like a stripper being mad that, like, you know, she's got some Usher buckets or some Usher ducats on the floor or whatever. Right. Like, you start fucking up the strip. You start fucking up the strip clubs count. Like, fucking, like, you know, plenty of people could be there all night trying to figure out what the fuck these Usher jackets are in all of this money. So you get a yellow card for that one, Usher. Fucking, you know, because that just doesn't affect the strippers. If it was just affecting the strippers, I'd be like, ah, Usher, funny prank, whatever. Like, you know. Second thing, I think this could have been executed so much better in like a different circumstance with the whole idea of like Usher having this money and like maybe coming up with some like skit around the money that doesn't have to do once again with going into a club and throwing this fake money in with real money and fucking up a bunch of people's nights. So he gets a yellow for that. That's two yellows. He's got to get out of here. Like, I don't think this is a straight red offense because it is kind of funny. Like, I appreciate, so funny. Like, I appreciate the like creativity where they were taking us, but like lately with most things, Usher, like the execution has been bad. So like this doesn't even make me want to fuck with the residency, because low-key I would fuck with a Usher residency like in Las Vegas. Like if I was in Las Vegas and like they were like, yo, Usher's got a residency here, he's doing a show, you got to go see that show.
How would this drive you off of not going to see his show? Like, is, you know what I'm saying? I don't see how that would make you not want to go see it now.
Because I don't know what else is going to be fake about the show. And, like, who else he's going to be picking on. Oh, like, if he's out here, man, throwing fake money at strippers. Like, hey, come to my... Like, I get, like, prop money for, like, videos and shit like that. But apparently he was in a live strip club. That is not a simulation. You know how bad somebody would get their ass beat if they rolled up in there? Like, just some regular schmegler dude just rolled up in there with some fake money with his face on it. And just started throwing it at strippers interchange. Like, that could be a very situation. That could be a very dangerous situation for a regular dude.
I mean, yeah, yes, I agree. Now, I feel like it would be way, way more egregious if he didn't actually pay them for real. Now, if he would, if the nigga was just throwing nigga money, like his then that would be a different story. But because he did actually tip them and, you know, give them money that was well deserving to them, but then also just left some behind, I don't see why it's that bad. Either way, I still want to go see Usher. I've never seen him in concert, so I would really like to go see his residency, because again,
this makes me think Usher's lazy.
Oh, don't say that. That makes me sad to think about that. Yeah, I mean, either way,
he couldn't throw the real money. Why did he have to like? Why did he have to leave the like money on a card or something? Like, yeah. Like he couldn't just throw the real money like the rest of us.
I mean, I guess the nigga could have just put up a billboard like everybody else. He didn't have to promote, I guess, this way.
This is what I'm saying. This is why he gets the second yellow. There are so many better ways he could have done this. That's like. Funny.
Rox, what are you giving my baby's father for this?
Usher, baby, you get a yellow card from me.
I'm not mad at yellow. And
I'm giving him a yellow as a caution because, like you said, he could have gone other ways. I get it. I'm certain he had some sort of forewarning for the club. Like, hey, I'm doing this promo. You know, how much y'all going to charge me to do this? It'll be great. Trust me. I get all that. But at the same time, it's like, I love the teaser element of it, right? Like the, the see-through suitcase and you out in the desert and you can just, if you look close enough and you see, hey, that's his face on the $100 bills. That's fire. Like, that is a type of whispering that you can't pay for. And I love that. But to go, you know, throw it in the strip club and then the strippers tweet it like, oh, Usher was in here throwing Usher bucks. Now it gets, it's too much jokes that can go on top of it. And that kind of takes away from the coolness of it for me. Cause I actually love the idea. Like, that is cool as hell. You doing a residency in Vegas and you got an album coming or whatever. And instead of just, you know, doing some poker chips or some shit like that, or some casino video, yeah, like you went and made actual money with your face on it. That looks like,
and
a
it looks
US
good.
Dollar.
Yeah.
It looks incredible. It, like, yeah, whoever did that,
yeah,
I would run right back to him and like, yo, let me get some actual hundreds.
Seriously.
Because your skills is on point. So I love the idea in theory, but the execution of it with the whole strip club element, it just,
yeah, now
it left too much room for people to make jokes. And it's actually really, really cool. So for that, you get a yellow.
No, that's fair. That is completely fair. And it's like he kind of almost isolated his woman audience because, especially if the strippers were trying to go see him, like, he might have kind of isolated them. Because, like, what? Yeah.
Isolated them. They're going to be like, let me get some Usher bucks, daddy.
Listen, he's still Usher at the end
Ma'am,
of the day.
Don't do that.
He's still Usher at the end of the day. I can't,
wait.
You know.
Usher's going to be handing out stacks of hundreds. And, like, the first couple going to be hundreds. And you're going to start flipping through them. And it's going to be a whole stack of Usher bucks.
Hey, look, after Shanoa's last comments, can we reevaluate the thirst rankings this week?
Oh, my God. Definitely number one. It's Usher, though. And I've had an affinity for Usher since I was 13. So that's not even fair.
But last week it was just Method Man. Like, you just thirsty.
I think what's normalized, women making compliments of anything and not having it being thirsty. How come I can't just compliment a man for being fine without it being thirsty? I might have stood for it last week, but I'm putting my foot down this week. You will not call me thirsty because I want to say a man is aesthetically pleasing to my eyes and body.
And see, you could have. She could have left it alone.
I rest my case, Your Honor. I'll take number one last week, but clearly I've been usurped this week.
No, we're going to normalize, like, being, we can just make comments of people being beautiful and aesthetically pleasing without it being thirsty, both man and woman. I think we should just let that be a normal thing.
I think this has got to be the only podcast on the planet where you can get a healthy dose of soccer, 5 uses of the word nigga, and the word usurped.
That's a fact. We are well-rounded. We are well-rounded, honey.
It's headed home time. Ken, my man, what you got for us this week? Any words of wisdom or funny anecdotes?
My headed home for the week is just a little pick me up that I thought to myself when I was having a rough time this week, because the haters are getting to me and I was like, you know, your haters gotta watch you to hate, you know that, right?
So, oh my God.
So, you know, whenever the haters are getting to you, whenever you feel like, you know, like there's more drama in your realm than is worth it sometimes, and like, you know, you don't know, like, you know, what to do about it, just remember, you know, the haters have to watch you to hate. So, you know, keep doing whatever you're doing because they're going to keep watching, and it's all about people watching you, right? Like, people don't watch shit that isn't worth paying attention to.
That's a fact. Let's see, What was I going to say? I think mine headed home this week. I tweeted this earlier, but it has been in my spirit. Have faith in what you prayed about. And you don't necessarily have to subscribe to the belief system that I subscribe to, but have a lean into something. If you're manifesting something for yourself, or you're manifesting for other people, or, you know, you're meditating on something, whatever you want to call it, I call it prayer and faith. You have to believe that it's going to come to pass. You can't just pray, or you can't just manifest, and you can't just have a thought and write it down and not actually have some type of like action and belief that it's going to happen. So for me, it's just been, I had to remind myself that once I put something down and write it, and want to have a vision and set something for myself for the future, I also have to have a real belief system to go behind that. Otherwise, it's just going to be an idea or an ideology that, you know, I just think is going to be something that I want to come to pass. But without that belief and that faith for it to actually pair together, it doesn't really manifest in the way that I believe it to be. And that's just from historical, like if I just look over my life and think about the things that I prayed about and applied faith to, there is a real manifestation of that. So that's my head at home. Whatever you're believing to happen, or if you're manifesting again, praying, whatever you're putting out into the atmosphere, into the earth, whatever you subscribe to, you also have to have some added belief and faith to go with it. So yeah, there's that.
Ooh, Chanel Green.
Well-roundedness on this pod.
Mm-hmm. My head at home this week is stop pretending that you are uncomfortable with violence.
Ooh. All right.
We watch economic violence on the daily, physical violence on the daily, athletic violence on the daily. But when it comes to Black people, it's, oh, let's think this through. Let's all be cordial. We don't need to do this. We don't need to, don't tear down buildings. Don't this, that, and the third. Fuck all that. This country is a sword that was forged in violence. Get comfortable with it. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been Chop Soccer Podcast, episode 30, with your host, Rox Fontaine, and...
It's your boy, Ken. Remember, this episode is sponsored by Big Vax, so it doesn't matter if you're a part of the Moderna Mafia, or hashtag Pfizer Gang, or even the J&J Lords. get vaxxed.
That is funny.
J&J Lords.
That was crazy. And hey, y'all, it's your girl, Shanoa. The name my mother gave me, you know, a part of the Moderna Bad Bitch Collective. Got my first one, waiting for the second. We out here. Big Vax Energy. LA, we outside. Maybe I'm sick. I just felt the AKA spirit just jump on me just now. I just felt it.
Hallelujah.
I felt it. Like, I was like, wait a minute.
See, right, once you get going.
Yeah. No, it's, I felt it. I had to stop myself just now. I was like, what am I doing? I'm done.
Y'all already know what to do. Do all the things that help us grow. Like, comment, share, subscribe, download these episodes. We need it and we appreciate it. If you want to get in the conversation with us on Twitter, it's at Chop Soccer Pod. On Instagram, at Chop Soccer Pod. Shoot your comments and suggestions via email to chopsoccerpod@gmail.com. And of course, don't forget that you can help support this show by donating to us, paypal.me/chopsoccerpod. We love you, we appreciate you, and you know the vibes. Peace.
Good night, Burkina Faso.
Bye, y'all.